Thank you, Karen. Title of our message for this morning. This morning. Hope you picked up on that. true worshipers. I was a little reluctant about preaching the same idea as Sabbath school, but I may have started on mine first. so I just left it there and decided to preach anyway. It's probably a different angle anyway. If you would turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of St. John, the 4th chapter, the scripture that was read, just give you a kind of a highlight of it. And I want to key in on verses 20 through 24 of St. John 4. Jesus was traveling the shortest route going north to Galilee. And it went, at least in Jesus' mind, the shortest route went through Samaria. Now, Jews and Samaritans hated each other. In fact, Jews traditionally would go the long way so they wouldn't have to go through Samaria. But Jesus decided to take the short way. And in that, in fact, just to give you a little idea or background of the Samaritans, some say that they came from the northern tribes of Israel. They did a lot of intermarrying, which many felt uncomfortable with. And so consequently, the Jews of Jesus' day did not feel that the Samaritans were pure Jews. In fact, the Samaritans considered their sacred place, not Jerusalem, but there in Samaria of Mount Gerizim. That was their spot. That was their Jerusalem. The Samaritans, as a general rule, held to the first five books of the Bible or the Pentateuch. But they had some minor deviations here or there, and again, that did not coincide with the Hebrew text, and so that even more divided them. And in fact, in the Bible days, if you were called a Samaritan, it was a curse word. In fact, when you read the Bible in John 8 and verse 48, there was one instance where someone called Jesus a Samaritan, and they were not being complimentary when they said that. It's in John 8, 48. You can look that up in your spare time. And you might remember the account also, a more famous one, in Luke chapter 9, where Jesus was passing through a Samaritan village, and so the disciples came a little early to prepare for Jesus to come. And the Samaritans did not receive them very well. And so when Jesus passed through, James and John said, "Jesus, command that fire would come down from heaven and destroy this village." It gives you a little background of the tension between Jews and Samaritans. And here Jesus is passing through, and he meets a woman at a well. Now, in his day, it was not looked on very well for a man to stop and talk to a woman out in public. But Jesus stops and asks the Samaritan woman to give him a drink of water. And I think most of us are familiar with that particular passage. But I'd like to key in on what he says just a few verses down, and that's starting at verse 20. She perceived, and you will read in your spare time, that when Jesus was dialoguing with her, he was able to tell her a little about herself. And she perceived, "To know so much about me, he must be a prophet." You'll see that listed there. I'm not going to go into that. That's probably another sermon into itself, but I won't let you know that that's there. But I want to key in on verse 20. "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Now, we just said that Jews worship in Jerusalem and the Samaritans somewhere else. And then Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. In verse 21, and Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, and we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. In verse 23, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. And God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. I want to key in on true worshipers. What is a true worshiper? Now, I want to say what I'm not saying first. You have to get this. I'm going to move away so that you can get this. What I am not saying is that I have the answers to all true worshipers. I am not saying that people who worship in other churches of other denominations are not true worshipers. I'm not saying that because I don't know that. In fact, true worship has to do with a matter of the heart, and I can't read your heart. Neither can I read all the other folk in the other churches or whatever. Is that all right? I'm just not capable or qualified to make that kind of judgment, and neither are you. I'll just tell you what I've learned from the Bible. Is that all right? And share that with you. What is a true worshiper? Now, this weekend, along with us, 40% of Americans will say that they're going to church this weekend. Now, there have been polls done, and they have found that only 20% actually show up. When they do the surveys, 40% say they're going, but only 20% show up. The same thing with tithes. When they did a survey on tithes, a large group said that they give 10 to 13% of their income, but the truth was that most gave 3 or less. So evidently, we say something different than what we actually do. But at least 20% will attend services this weekend, and I would believe that most would think that they are true worshipers. After the 9/11 attack, there was a surge in church attendance. This is what was said at that time by Pat Robertson of the 700 Club. I'd like to share with you some of his thoughts after 9/11. He says that the attack was bringing about one of the greatest spiritual revivals in the history of America. People are turning to God and the churches are full. There was a study done by November the 26th. The churches were back to normal. 2 months later, that great revival became nothing. People were back to their normal way of doing things. That was done by the Center for the Study of Religion at Princeton University. What? So we know people go from time to time to church, but what is a true worshiper? In fact, God seeketh those. I want to know what that is. Well, I'll tell you what I don't believe it is. It's not a building. It's not a style. And it's not a dress. Because if it was a specific building, I would be there today. If it was a specific dress, we need to have on the same kind. In fact, is it a tie? Or is it the more casual look? Which one is the true worshiper? Whatever it was, or whatever it is, I want to have it on. It's really a matter of the heart. Now, didn't I look pious when I came up here and I knelt down, Paul and I? We came up here and we knelt. That doesn't mean a thing if I don't have what I need to have in my heart toward God. I might can fool you kneeling here, but thinking about a whole lot else. But that wasn't the case. But it's not how we look. We cannot fool God. So what is a true worshiper? Is it a style? Now, if it's a style, I want to be there. I should be there today. If this is it, we shouldn't have any empty seats. If this is the style, Fallbrook has it, everybody ought to be here doing the same style. In fact, I would venture to say, even though we're Seventh-day Adventist Christians, you could go to a church not far from here, and their style is totally different. Which one is a true worshiper? I want to know that. Because if there's a style, then I want to be doing it. I don't want to be out of God's will. How about you? So, folk, as difficult as it for you to accept what I said, I believe what I said is true. Now, we do have different styles, and we do prefer different styles, and I'm okay with that. Is that all right? Fallbrook has a different style. In fact, I'd venture to say that Fallbrook, their style changes from week to week, depending on who's leading what. And I'm okay with that. But if you have in your mind that your style is God's, then you're missing something. You're missing the point. Well, I want to know what that is. What is true worship? Who is a true worshiper? In fact, God seeks true worshipers. Well, let me tell you what I believe worship involves. Worship involves something other than ourselves. You can't be a true worshiper if all you're interested in is yourself. True worship has nothing to do with yourself. Has to do with another. Now, that other, for that another is God. We know that. You remember the story in Daniel chapter 3? It gets there through Daniel chapter 2. God shows Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, that great dream with all of those different image, the different metals on the image. Remember that? Guess what Nebuchadnezzar decided to do in chapter 3? I'm going to build my own, made up of all gold, and I want you to worship it. Read it. It's there. God does not like for us to worship ourselves. You never want to go there. God will humble you. He humbled the king Nebuchadnezzar. You remember what happened to him? He ended up losing his mind. He was out in the field crawling around like an animal for 7 years. Because he was interested in worshiping himself. That's idolatry to the highest. Worship involves not just another. Let me tell you about, before I move on, let me tell you about this person. April the 20th of this year, a group got together to celebrate this minister's birthday. In fact, to them, they called it Christmas. April the 20th of this year was Christmas for them because they were celebrating the birth of their leader. Let me read his name so I'll get it right. Some of you may even heard it. and this is out of Florida, somewhere in the Miami area, Golden Gate, Florida. The leader was Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda. Now listen to this. He claims that he is Jesus Christ the man and the Antichrist all at the same time. Now, I've never heard such foolishness in all my life. How can you be both at the same time? At least pick one or the other. He says that he is Jesus the man and the Antichrist. And his followers wear t-shirts with 666 on it. Did you hear what I said? His followers. Who would follow him? And in fact, he has 300,000 followers around the world. We will believe almost anything. How could he have a following? Our praise should go first and exclusively to God. Let me tell you something. I appreciate what it takes to make this church run. And Dan, maybe we got a greater appreciation whenever we do nominating committee. All of the names, all of the things that it takes done, we just picked half of the people. The other half comes next year. All of that to make a church run. And I appreciate every person here. We have people that work in Sabbath school. We have people work with kids. People work back there in the kitchen. And they have people that keep the church clean. We have people that count the money. It just takes a lot to make this church happen. But let me tell you, if you don't come here for the right reason, you can do all of those things and not be a true worshiper. In fact, that happens sometimes. I won't tell you where it's at, but there was a person where my wife and I went to church. I never saw the person in church. I was there for 3 years, never saw the person in church. They counted money every single Sabbath, every week. What a great service, but they miss something. The reason you get up and get in your car and come, because you ought to come to praise and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's not the first reason you're coming, you have missed it. You got it all wrong. And that happens. We get people who will do things for the church but never come to praise our God. What a mistake. And if that's happened under my watch, I am sorry that I didn't preach this 5 years ago. Worship involves another, never self. It involves also others. Others. I know that there are times when we can worship by ourselves. There are times when we get sick and we're home and we watch 3ABN. If you have that or you listen to music, we keep ourselves in a certain attitude or frame of mind. It's God's solely day. We know that. That happens. That happens to all of us. There's sometimes we're long ways from home and we worship where we can. Sometimes that happens. But as a general rule, we want to worship with others. Psalm 22 says, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will praise you. Do not let anybody tell you that they can have church at home all the time. Do not buy into that. That's not Bible. In fact, the Hebrews 10 and verse 24 and 25 says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. come together. Sometimes I need you to tell me that you've been healed last week. I need you to tell me that. I need your testimony of what God has done for you. And you can only get that when you're together. I know the phone is a good thing, but sometimes the phone won't do. You got to see each other in person. We should worship with others. Do you know that 40 million of us will come to church this weekend? But you can't think just in that terms. I want you to turn very quickly to Revelation. I want you to see these passages, and I'm getting ready to conclude in about 10 minutes. Revelation chapter 5. There's some other things in Revelation besides all the beasts. And Revelation chapter 5. And starting at, I'll start at verse 11. Because you need to know that when you come, you are joining yourself with unfallen worlds and with angels and with billions and billions you join yourself with. And look at verse 11. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice. Now, why does it say loud voice there? Is it because that I like to get loud? No. Whenever you come before the Lord, and I'm getting ready to say something, but it's not meant to embarrass. Thank you, Karen, for playing with gusto. Thanks for playing with your might. You see, when you come, the loud voice is not emphasizing getting loud. When you come to worship, you ought to give God all you have. If you can give it at the Chargers game, you can give it at church. Give God all. If your enthusiasm is in singing, thank you, Rachel, give God all. Give him your best. That's what it's talking about. And then it goes on to say, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. When you worship, worship not yourself, another. That's God. Worship with others. They strengthen us. We hear their testimonies. We talk about how good God is. And not only that, when we come, we worship the highest. Worship means worth-ship, worthiness. Only one is the highest, and that is God. Only God is the highest. We worship only God. The true worshiper always worships the highest. I want you to notice Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Now let me say something. True worshipers always honor the highest. And guess who the highest is? The highest is our Creator. And, you know, can I say something specifically about Seventh-day Adventists that I like? We worship the highest and then honor His creation by coming on this day. So the Sabbath is a memorial of creation. We honor the Creator by coming on the day that He says, come. That's why we come. Not to have one up on those that go on Sunday, We come today because God said, do it. We're honoring his creative power and the fact that he created us. And I know the redemption part, that's another sermon. A true worshiper honors the one who's created us. And he tells us so that we would never forget, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you should labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the what? Sabbath of the Lord thy God. You got to get that because I'm getting ready to tell you something. So you got to get the Sabbath of the Lord our God. In it thou shalt not do any work. And I'm not going to go into that. You know that by heart. Exodus chapter 20 verses 8 through 11. You know that. The true worshiper worships the Creator. And we go on the day that the Creator says come so we won't forget him. As I conclude, and I want to conclude with Revelation 5 and verse 13 and 14. Revelation 5, 13 and 14. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Hallelujah. Oh, it's good enough for them. It's more than good enough for me. Is that all right? That's why we came today. There's a guy by the name of Dr. Dale Robbins. He's not of our faith. He has an internet spot. He has been on for quite a while, but he was sharing some of the 8 reasons to honor the Lord's Day. I want to share just a little of his thoughts. He says, and this is one of the 8 reasons to honor the Lord's Day. Now, I just told you what the Lord's Day was in Exodus 20. The Lord's Day is the Sabbath day, the seventh day. Did you hear that? It's clear. It's very clear. Now, this is what he has to say. 8 reasons. This is one of his reasons for honoring the Lord's Day. He says, the fourth commandment of the law that God gave Moses was set aside on the seventh day of the week, Saturday. And this is what I'm quoting it. Seventh day of the week, Saturday. He made sure we didn't get that wrong. As the holy day to the Lord. And then he quotes Exodus 20 and verse 8. This was and will always remain the official Sabbath. Now listen to this. But because of the resurrection, Christians are no longer bound to a rigid code of laws. This day of resurrection, he says, was now called the Lord's Day. And that Christians and Gentiles are free from the bondage of the old law. Now, this is out there in the web space where anybody can read it. That is probably almost as ridiculous as the guy down there in Florida. He says in one breath, this always will be the official Sabbath. And I mean, one sentence later, he switches up. I'll just tell you. A true worshiper, it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. What do you mean? I'm convinced that the Lord has written the laws of God on our heart. That's why you're here. He's written it on your heart. he still got a lot of writing to do. I didn't do this in the first service. I got 1 minute. I'll do it now. Verse 25 of John 4. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Hallelujah. The one who has been speaking to you is he. Listen to him, and you will be the true worshiper that God seeks. Listen to him, and you will be the true worshiper that God seeks. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for seeking out true worshipers, those who are willing to follow the word of God no matter what. We thank you, Lord, for those who come week after week, Sabbath after Sabbath, to honor your creation, your creative power, your redemption. As we come, Lord, may we grow stronger and stronger in you. May we know that you are the highest, and we worship only you. Never let us be distracted or deceived or led astray. And we thank you, Lord, that you are preparing a people for what is about to come. Prepare our hearts even now. In Jesus' name, amen. And we would conclude our service with number 341. And we invite you to stand in our church hymnal, one stanza, to God.